And you're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. It's now 8:49 on this Thursday morning, and in studio with me is WGBH Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
The morning after seeing quite a production, I understand, at the ART.
Yes, the theater season has kicked off already a little bit early with Finding Neverland, which, of course, is a highly anticipated musical, brand new musical by the ART. And they, in fact, just announced yesterday that the show is going to Broadway and it'll open there in March. But Finding Neverland, so I'll give you the backstory. I'm going to make you wait for my take a little bit. So I'll give you the backstory. It's adapted from the film starring Johnny Depp and Kate Winslet about J.M. Barrie, who was the creator of Peter Pan. He was a man who was sort of down and out at the time that he created Peter Pan. He just wasn't able to get anywhere as a playwright in London to find success. And Jeremy Jordan, who was a great big star on Broadway and Newsies, and people know lately from Smash on television, plays J.M. Barrie. And I spoke with him recently on the parallels between himself as an actor and Barrie, whom he plays, both as artists.
We all have sort of creative struggles, and we all don't want to conform to, you know, what's the norm and what's cliche. And I think Barrie sort of started to fall into that trap for a while before he wrote Peter Pan. And it wasn't until, you know, he started having a few more failures than successes, because everybody has ups and downs, that he realized, wait, I think I have to make a change.
And how he did this, it's a wonderful, wonderfully warm and engaging story about how he encountered the Davies family. And Sylvia Llewellyn Davies is a woman who was recently widowed. She had four boys. Barrie encountered them. And through their innocence and youthfulness and their own creativity, he was able to draw them out of their malaise and her out of her sadness over suddenly losing her husband. But also he took from them this impetus to create Peter Pan and the Lost Boys and Neverland and this whole realm of theater that had never been really staged before. And I also spoke with Laura Michelle Kelly, who plays the widowed Sylvia Llewellyn Davies, on the magic in Barrie's work and world.
The best way to deal with tragedy is to get in touch with your inner child. Knowing from personal experience, when you remember what it was like to be young and free, sometimes it's really challenging to get back to that innocence when your life's been coloured by things that are painful. And I think it's a good lesson for most people to say, okay, here's a door, and here's how you can get back there.
Okay, so now I get to talk about the show. This, Bob, the show is fantastic.
You don't have enough thumbs to put up, is what you said.
I don't. I mean, this is really wonderful in all the best ways. I have a couple quibbles, which I'll mention in a moment, but this is a show that it's wonderful theatricality. It's such tough subject matter in depicting the creation of Peter Pan on stage. And under the guise of Diane Paulus, who is a director here, as I've often mentioned, she has a very particular vocabulary when it comes to stage work. The way she crafts this enchantment and the magic and what happens to J.M. Barrie as he begins to conceive of Peter Pan and this world consumes him, and he also takes over the world of this family, it becomes so heartwarming and it becomes magical on stage with what she's able to do. Jeremy Jordan as J.M. Barrie is a star. Already you can't see anybody else in this role. He's got this warmth to him and to his voice. He's got a staggering voice. He's got this warmth and magic, and he's so engaging. I most recently talked about Alan Cumming and Neil Patrick Harris on Broadway as people who are captivating. Jeremy Jordan is this. Laura Michelle Kelly as Sylvia Llewellyn Davies is just divine. She's so sweet, and she's got this wonderfully expressive, soft face, and her voice is also staggering. I mean, this is a piece that really, really transports you and takes you to this other realm, just as he's taking the family to another realm. I think this really lifts the audience. But what I also appreciate here is this nuance and subtlety about the anguish of an artist. Because as I mentioned, J.M. Barrie is somebody who really struggled. He wasn't getting the validation that he needed on the stage until he created Peter Pan. And even through the creation of this, people said, you can't do this. This cannot be put on the stage. This has never been done before. And he had to find the courage of his convictions. And I think in this, of all weeks, where we just lost this tremendous artist who was obviously riddled with self-doubt, and of course I'm talking about Robin Williams, I think that the anguish that is depicted on the stage stage and in this character really, really resonates. Mm. So my only quibbles are that the pacing is so fast. This is a show that's 2 hours and 40 minutes. It feels like 90 minutes in all the best ways. Right. Although there were a few times that I felt like it moved too quickly at the expense of the story and some of the transitions were too halting. But otherwise, Bob, this is just a phenomenal show.
So we may have another Tony Award-winning production that started here in Boston and New York.
You know, I was reluctant to say that, but I think that's absolutely the case. Right. Jeremy Jordan definitely will have one.
We'll check in a few months. Next, we turn to a play at the Gloucester Stage Company through August 17th. It's entitled 4,000 Miles.
Yeah, this is a really charming production as well. And as you mentioned, plays through August 17th. This is a Pulitzer Prize finalist for drama a couple of years ago. And you find Leo, who's this 21-year-old who's just had this major trauma, which I won't reveal here because it comes out over the course of the play. But he's somebody who's carrying a lot of baggage and crashes in the middle of the night in at his 91-year-old grandmother's West Village apartment in New York City. And they spend the next few weeks together, and it's largely a two-person play. There are a couple of other characters who appear, but it really is a play about their dynamic and how, despite the 70-year gap between their ages, how they really bolster one another and they help one another find each other. She is obviously somebody at the end of her life and who has all of these convictions and certainties about life, and he's somebody who's so uncynical, and it's nice to see this camaraderie. And I recently spoke with Nancy Carroll, very well-known, celebrated local actress, whom I also adore and who is fantastic here, on the hefty work in this piece, which finds just two people on stage, as I mentioned, for most of the show, and, as I appreciate, without much melodrama.
When you have something as, you know, that's this well-written and where you really are just practically spending, you know, 70% of your time with just one other person on stage, it's like, I was going to say, it's like dancing. Finding that rhythm where it's interesting for the audience, but there's no artifice for the two characters on stage, and letting this unfold gracefully. It's a tightrope.
So she talks about how well written it is. Who did write it?
This is written by Amy Herzog, who's fairly young, and she wrote this about her own grandmother. It's not necessarily completely autobiographical, but she took elements out of it. And I really appreciated the fact that this is just conversation. There doesn't have to be an explosive moment, and yet it really captivates at Gloucester Stage.
4,000 Miles, the name of the play. Next, we turn to a film opening up in theaters tomorrow called The Giver.
The Giver, many people know this. A lot of kids know this, especially. It's a literary rite of passage to read The Giver in middle school. I was aged out of this, Bob. I was too old for The Giver, so this is my introduction to it. But it's a fascinating concept, and it's this dystopic look at society that was written by Lois Lowry. And despite everything that's come out since, and The Hunger Games and Twilight and all of those, she's really the one who did this first and did it very well. She basically creates this utopian society where there's no conflict, there's no hatred, but there's also no excessive love or emotion, and it's because all memories have been erased so that there's no familiarity with history's horrors. I talked to Lois Lowry, who is actually from Cambridge and Maine, where she resides now, and she wrote this, conceived of it, while on Beacon Hill looking out her window.
I was living on Beacon Hill at the time, looking out my window, and I actually made a list of all the things that troubled the world then. This was, say, 1992. And I got rid of them one by one, ticked them off the list. There's no poverty, there's no crime, there's no divorce, there's no alcohol, there are no drugs, there are no cars. And so I made it gradually into the most peaceful, content, comfortable kind of world, tried to seduce the reader into thinking what a great world that would be, and then introduce the underbelly.
Which is exciting because the underbelly is played by Meryl Streep. So you quickly get a sense of why this kind of society won't work, and it's a great lesson for kids, and it's a really well-made movie. Jeff Bridges bought the rights from her a while ago and has had it in his care all this time.
All right, but we're going to go out on some Finding Neverland music, and we hope that people find the time to see this remarkable production at ART.
Who is he?